Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
In your company, a challenge? Are you battling turnover and struggling to draw key talent? Is your team not performing at the level you want? Problems present themselves through conflict, miscommunication, creative differences, unclear expectations, and motivational issues. ARC Integrated is here to address these challenges through executive coaching and customized interactive trainings. Create lasting positive change that will improve your bottom line and create a culture that attracts talent and reduces turnover by going to arcintegrated.com. That's arcintegrated.com. All right. It is a great day out here today. Hope you all are enjoying yourselves wherever it is you may be listening to this and whatever time you may be listening to this, whether you're listening to it live on Biz Radio US or if you are listening to it on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, podcasts, Apple. I'm losing track of all of these different podcast networks that we're on. Definitely check us out on Biz Radio Live if you can. My name is Joel Skeen, host of the Mindful Marketplace here, where we ask a few questions about, you know, what if investing in each other could really change the world? And I'm really excited to talk to our guest today because he has really created a platform and an avenue for the local business community where I live in Western North Carolina to really thrive, to connect, to inform, and to inspire. And I'm excited to get to talk to Brett Hulsey. I'm going to mess this up, Brett. I've said it six times myself. Brett Hulsey, owner of Hulsey Media, and also has recently founded a fantastic magazine called WNC Business that is really, really cool. And we're going to get to dive in to all of that here. Just a quick shout out to I'm really thankful for Biz Radio for giving me this platform. And if you haven't yet, if you like what we're doing here on the Mindful Marketplace, I would highly recommend you go to bizradio.us and check out so many of the other great shows, other great hosts and guests from all over the place, not just from WNC, but really from across the country now. Extra special shout out to Alex Cardona, who really introduced me to Biz Radio US and his show, The Golden Key, as well as to Ryan Marshall, who got to have me on his show not too long ago. So if you want to hear me on a different platform, check out Ryan Marshall. The Real Deal is the name of his show there. Also, I would highly recommend you check out the events page. Biz Radio has been partnering with tons of really incredible events that will help you network, help you learn, help you build community, and help you, you know, be better at your business or be better at whatever it is that you want to do. So take a look at Biz Radio US to check out all the sponsored events that we have there around entrepreneurship, around business networking, around learning, lots of great stuff there. And I just want to say thanks again to Biz Radio for giving me this platform and to you, the listener, for taking the time out of your day to give us a listen here. With no further ado, I'm going to bring on Brett. Brett, thanks so much for being here. Glad to have you on here today.
Yes, thanks for having me, Joe. I look forward to this for a while, so glad to be here today.
Yeah, I am too. You know, you and I don't know each other too well. We've met a few times out and about around Asheville, and I learned about WNC Business, I believe, in the fall of last year. And as soon as I learned about it, I was like, man, that's something that's really needed here in the community. And I think that what you guys are doing is not only fulfilling a need, but you're executing really, really well on it. So I'm excited to get to connect you with our audience and let them connect with you. Tell us a little bit about your kind of your background. Where did you come from? Are you, I feel like we always have to ask this here. Are you one of the locals or are you one of the transplants?
More of a transplant for sure, but I have lived here twice, ironically. I knew when I went away, it wasn't forever. I didn't know how long it'd be till I came back. But I moved to Asheville right at the beginning of 2001. So just over 22 years ago now. And I worked at the Asheville Citizen Times for a couple of years in 2001 and 2002. And had an opportunity to move away. I was, you know, being in the newspaper industry at that time. I went to a digital media role with some newspaper groups and was with one family-owned newspaper company for about 4 years, leading their online efforts, and then went to a kind of a larger group of family-owned community newspapers throughout the Southeast and was their VP of Digital Strategy and Development for about 7 years at a time when so much was changing with all things digital. I mean, the time I spent, it was really about, you know, a good 10 and a half years in those digital-only roles. So much happened during that time, from the launch of YouTube and Google was kind of early, you know, early days of Google, really people hearing about it and using it. You know, Facebook and other social media platforms, streaming video, that kind of thing. So I went through a lot of change in the industry and in the media world at that time. And so I still kind of laugh myself when I think about the 10 plus years I spent living and breathing, you know, digital media all day long. And now looking, you know, later on down the road and publishing a group of magazines. I would not have expected that back in 2007 or 10, let's say, when I was kind of knee deep in that world. And, I actually, you know, came back to the Asheville Hendersonville area 10 years ago this year. So it was 2013, came back because there was an opportunity to buy a couple of local publications that were, had been run a long time by a previous publisher. And one of those was Hendersonville Magazine, which was started back in 1982, actually, so over 40 years ago. The other one was Healthcare Resources of Western North Carolina, which was started back in 2002. And so I was very interested in getting back to this area because I always, we, our family wanted to be here and wanted to get back as soon as we could, just kind of looking for the right opportunity. And was very interested in owning my own business in media. And so all those things fit. But it was really a big question mark about in 2013, having spent 10 years on the digital side of the media world, going back into something that was primarily print-based and wondering, what's the long-term strategy there? Is that going to last me my career? Is that going to be enough? And, you know, I kind of drank the Kool-Aid so long about hearing that print was dying, and, you know, just wasn't sure about the opportunity, quite frankly. So I kicked the tires and sat on it for a while, really a couple of years before we decided to make the leap to come back here and do this. And what really made it work for me in my mind was really studying the business that the previous publisher had with a couple of local magazines and seeing how they were different from a lot of other things that were out there, how they worked, why they mattered, how consumers used them, how they impacted and helped the businesses who were part of them. And it just sort of clicking and making more sense that that something that was very targeted and niche that was available to the right people at the right place at the right time can be a very effective form of marketing and very efficient as well, you know, from a business standpoint for local businesses to connect with the right people. You know, not every consumer matters, is really the ones you're trying to reach. They're going to be, you know, the best for your business. That's who you want to connect with. Sometimes it's not so much about the numbers, but the quality of the audience who's really ready to buy. And what we saw with the publications we were doing was that that niche and that exact fit made really good sense for marketers to be part of and to be impactful for local businesses. So from there, it's, you know, over the last few years, it's grown into multiple brands that we've launched since then. But that's really kind of the core of Pulse Media and how it came to be. Was that continuation of a company that was established back in 1982 in Hendersonville.
What is it? Why do you think that, you know, do you think is keeping print alive? Like why? I'm just kind of curious about that because it does seem like with everything moving digital that someone might think that, but yet there are these places. Like I know that I'm a big music guy and I've always loved collecting vinyl, you know, even, and I, when CDs were around, it wasn't as cool to do, but you know, when everything moved to digital streaming, the record industry actually started selling more vinyl than they had previous to that. Is it the same kind of thing? Or I'm curious your perspective on that.
Yeah, and I'll preface that by saying, ironically, my dad's retirement gig is owning a vinyl record store, and I'm the unpaid marketing director for that company.
Oh, that's great.
So I have studied that and seen some of the just, you know, research about vinyl surging and the sales higher than ever. It's interesting to see that. In this case, people have asked me a lot of questions, or they've made some assumptions, I should say, about why they think print might still be relevant in our market. A lot of people, and I think it's a not really an accurate or correct assumption, but a lot of people have said, oh, I get it. You know, there are a lot of people in this market who are retirees, they're older, they just like print. That's part of it, but not necessarily all of it, for sure. I see people who are, I'm 47 years old, I see people who are younger than me picking up our magazines and walking down the street with them quite frequently. It's, I don't think it's so much about a learned experience or a tradition or a custom of, you know, a habit, let's say. I think the difference between what we do and what people generally think of with a broad term print is that there's more difference between how and why people would interact with it than you might think. And the big difference is probably things that are really heavily subscription based, such as newspapers. That has been a challenge. And I don't think it's so much about not wanting to have ink on your hands as it is just kind of culture and society changing a lot to where the general newspaper model has been challenged, especially when you get into larger communities. I think it's still very strong and effective in smaller communities, but it's a hard business to be in today if you're in a metro community or, kind of a larger scale city. That it's a lot to tackle, and it doesn't have the same subscriber base that it used to. It doesn't have that affinity that it might have in a small town. The other thing people think of a lot of times when they think of print is Yellow Pages. And no doubt that individual slice of the print media world, if you will, was probably the most affected by the internet, because it was essentially, a search-based tool of, I need to find exactly what I'm looking for. Most of the time I know who I'm looking for, I just need the number. And that, Yellow Page research showed that's what most people were using it for, was just finding a number of a company they already wanted to contact. And so, certainly internet technology definitely disrupted that business quite a bit. What we do as a company is focusing on niche resource guide type information that, people are always kind of in different modes of what they need or what they're interested in. And those things can come and go. You might be in the market for a house. And when you buy that house, you're not looking at real estate again for a long time. Buying that house might lead you to be in the market for home improvement, home services. But before you own that house, you might not need those things. As we age and go through different needs with healthcare or aging care, those consumer moments, I guess that you would say, is if people are looking for information, they're gravitating towards things that would help them make decisions. That's where the types of publications we do really comes into play, because it reaches people at the right time.
Yeah, that all makes perfect sense to me. And, it seems like it's the kind of thing that, while there may be, especially you guys being quarterly and the free nature of it, I just think it works, but let's talk about, I do want to talk about too, like why you decided, because from where you're at, I know you have Hendersonville Magazine, you have a couple others. What made you decide to go in the direction of WNC Business rather than, some other direction to expand what y'all are doing?
Yeah, a couple of things that kind of led to that. We do a lot of things that are B2C focused. It's a consumer publication, whether it's the Asheville Ale Trail or, some of the other titles we talked about, where consumers looking for certain things. And so everything we've done as a company so far has been helping a business be part of that targeted publication to reach those consumers. And it's really, ironically, it's really been in my mind for a long time to do some sort of business journal for the greater Asheville, Hendersonville, Western North Carolina area. In fact, 10 years ago, back in 2013, when I was getting ready to move back here to buy Hendersonville Magazine and Healthcare Resources, doing a business journal was in my mind. It just never really made it to the front burner, so to speak. We got busy with other projects and things kind of rolled on. But a couple of things kind of led to this. One, a few years ago now, probably about 3 years ago or so, there was a daily email newsletter that was started by somebody else who'd been here in the market. And that newsletter was WNC Business Today. And it simply looked for business news, the different sources published. It could have been the Asheville Chamber. It could have been, WLOS or another newspaper or, even as a community college, small business center, if they had something that they wanted to share and publish, they would do that. And this email would look for that information locally, put it together in a pretty automated way, and share it with an audience of opt-in subscribers who, it had discovered it and kind of shared, virally throughout the area through word of mouth, and people were signing up for it. And so there was a core, set of people, a couple thousand people who were getting this daily email called WNC Business Today. And I was one of them for several years. And a few years ago, we noticed there was an opportunity that to buy that actual newsletter itself, that the WNC Business Today brand was for sale. And, being in media, was interested in that, contacted the owner. And by that afternoon, we had worked out a deal for us to take it over. And so what we inherited was this email newsletter that was great in the sense that, you know, it was opt-in, people wanted to get it. It had some local information, you know, 5 days a week publishing, coming to your inbox. But what we saw as we studied it was there was really a lack of local business news. Some days the information that the system would look for just didn't exist very much. It was kind of hard to find true business news. You know, what was popping into the platform was kind of a stretch to be called business, or it wasn't that impactful or wasn't that in depth. And having seen that, combined with the work we do with so many different industries in the area, you know, whether it's the Asheville Ale Trail working with the brewery industry, or the real estate book of Asheville and Henderson will be published working with the real estate industry, healthcare, senior care, home improvement services that we touch on with our homeowner's guide publication. We realize that we work with a lot of different industries that are all, you know, really unique in this area. And it kind of shed the light on how diverse our economy is and how many different industries exist here that drive the local economy in Western North Carolina. And that's one of the things I'm thankful for, just, you know, as a business person myself in this market, is that I think we have a very diverse economy. We're not a, you know, if Asheville were a shipbuilding town or a, you know, an automotive manufacturing hub, you know, those kind of industries can really dominate and they're either great or they, you know, they go away sometimes, and that really has a negative impact. But I think with so many different industries that are here, we're not too reliant on any one industry, and they all work really well together, even though they're all so different. And so all those things kind of came together to say, we've got this brand now of WNC Business. We have a daily email newsletter, but we see that the content just really isn't there. And we thought, you know, we do so much work with different businesses. It'd be great to, you know, I know how what they're doing behind the scenes and how they're successful, but nobody's really telling their stories. And so all that came together with the idea of let's launch a business journal for Western North Carolina, leveraging the newsletter that already exists, but then bringing it a little bit more to life with a magazine that we would do quarterly, as well as a web presence on WNCBusiness.com. And the first step of that was identifying that, you know, we needed somebody to help gather and produce and create this content. So that was really the first step of our business launch strategy. As we were working on this back in, you know, last year in 2022, was identifying we're going to need to hire a team of people and lead it with an editor who's going to help us look for this business news and information and shape the content that we're sharing with the business community. So it kind of happened from there.
Yeah. And there's two things about what you just said that I think are really great. The first is it's good to hear what you said about the diversity of our economy, that it's not, you know, I mean, I know tourism is our biggest industry, but to have that, those other different pools and, you know, kind of have that diversification is super important. I've moved here from a place that was very reliant on the auto industry from the Detroit area in Michigan. Right. And man, when it's good, it is good there. But when it's bad because it's all dependent on just that one type of business. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I love hearing that we have a more diverse business ecosystem here, really, and that they interplay with each other. And, you know, we talk a lot on this show about how your dollar really is your vote. You know, where you decide to spend your money, where you decide to invest your money is a decision that not only, you know, will benefit you, but, or, you know, you have to take your own self and your own family into account, but it also creates a world in the future that we either want to see or that we don't want to see. And what I think is huge in that is to spend and invest your money locally into that local economy. And I'm also seeing that it seems to me that something like WNC Business, this platform, really is of service to that local business economy. What do you feel like is the biggest value that you add to the local economy to help these small businesses grow and be able to fight against the big ones that are out there?
Yeah, and that goes back to the mission of Connect, Inform, and Inspire. We very early on said we don't want to just do business journalism where we just talk about business news. We want to help businesses. And a lot of it just comes from my own personal experience. And I was talking with somebody in the local business community as we were working on this project last year to get it launched, and just kind of talking about where some of these ideas came from. I said, you know, I've been in business now, and this year will be almost 10 years now. And I said, you would think that it's easier today than it was back when I was getting started. But honestly, I have way more questions now as a business owner than I did when I was becoming a business owner. And it's because now I'm more aware of what I don't know. Just your scope, everything kind of broadens out of you know, what you're aware of and, you know, what you know, you know, needs to be done next to help your business grow and, you know, to sustain it. And those are just things I wasn't thinking about when I was just trying to get off the ground. I was just trying to survive. Honestly, I think like a lot of people starting a business are. And so it told me, and I talked to other people who've been in business for, you know, 25, 30 years, and they said, yeah, you never really stop learning. And not because you're just eager to learn, but because you have to. You might think you've seen it all and done it all in business, and then a new challenge comes your way, and you still have to adapt, and you still need help. You still are looking for advice and seeing how other people are doing things. And so with the idea of connect, inform, and inspire, we want people, if they interact with our content, especially again in our quarterly magazine, to not just, you know, have some information, but we want them to come away smarter, because we want them to learn something when they've engaged with us. That's really the goal of it. So we feel like the kind of information you might seek if you were talking to another business owner at a networking event or at a lunch meeting or something, you know, just kind of what would you share? What would you be, you know, willing to know about? That's the kind of information I think people are looking for, just as much as, you know, what was the latest merger and acquisition and what's coming new to this empty building in downtown. Those things matter, of course, as well. That's part of what we're sharing, but it's not everything. And that key of being a learning experience where you can come away smarter because you picked up on something you didn't know before. You got some answers to questions you might have about running or growing your own business from somebody else who's an expert in that field in our market. That's what we're trying to accomplish there.
Yeah, I absolutely love those three, you know, kind of the three words that you look when you look on the website or on the top of the magazine is connect, inform, inspire. Because it is one thing to inform. Obviously, that's hugely important. We got to know what we're talking about. But it's those other two pieces, the connection and the inspiration, that I am looking forward to really digging in with you here on the part two of this conversation that I'm going to be having here with Brett. So this is a two-parter, which means that you should be tuning in a week from now to the same right here on Biz Radio US, same time, same place. And we are going to dig deeper on exactly what that connection means, what that inspiration looks like, you know, what are, you know, get Brett's perspective on local innovations, local investments, the local entrepreneurship ecosystem, what's growing, what he's excited about. And so please join us next week, same time, same place. And if you're listening to us out there on your favorite platform, please remember to subscribe and write us a review. That helps us spread what we're doing better than anything else you can do. So thank you so much, Brett, for being on here for part one. Looking forward to continuing the discussion here with you on part two. And for you out there, please make sure to take care of yourself here and also take care of someone else.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.